What up, beautiful people, and welcome to another amazing episode on the Lumion Black Show. And today we're going to be talking about something really, really special. And like you already know, like we always do on the Lumion Black Show, we bring amazing topics, amazing gists, and like you've already seen from this title, God is angry with me. I think God is angry with me. Well, in the actual sense, this topic is not about me, it's about people who feel like God is actually angry with them. And you see, the problem is most times people go through their challenges and storms because they feel it's actually God behind it. But what we're about to do in this episode is to debunk that ideology, that doctrine that God is angry with you. And today with me in the studio to share his thoughts, his experience, and to also enlighten us about God being angry with us or not being angry with us is Mr. Ebuka Ibukwe. Please let's make welcome my friend, my brother, Mr. Ebuka Ibukwe.
Thank you so much. An honor to be here. Yeah, my name is Ebuka Ibukwe. A son of God. One who has acknowledged and accepted God's love for me, and I love him back. Yeah, it's an honor to be here.
Thank you also, Ebuka, for honoring us by coming here over to the Lumion Black Studios, for just gracing us with your presence here, and for also coming to share your experiences and your thoughts about a very, very sensitive topic as this. And just so you guys know, Ebuka is a graduate of parasitology and what's the other thing?
Entomology.
Yeah, and also he's a chef in training. That means this man loves food and he's really, really good. I've never tasted his food, but that's something I'm going to do very, very soon. But the pictures of his food is just mind-blowing. It's super, super amazing. Okay, so into what we have to talk about today. So, Mr. Ebuka, we see people struggling with the fact that they cannot come to terms that God actually is not angry with them, and that God actually wants the best for them. And you find that people run away from God than to him. They are supposed to.
Yeah, that's true.
What is your take on people running away from God when they feel they have sinned, in quote? And what is also your take in them running to God when they have sinned? What's your take on those two dynamic things?
Okay, the first thing I want to say is that God is not angry with us. He's not angry. God is not angry. God is not angry. God is not. God is our mood swing. Yeah? God is full of life. He's full of joy. God is in love with mankind. God's in love with us. Yeah, he loves us so much that even when we're going against us, we will send his son Jesus to die for us. That's how much God loves us, and God is not angry with us. And I want to say that, the reason why many times we feel like God's angry with us is because of our background. You know that when we're young, you just do something wrong and you're so afraid to tell your dad, because you know that if you tell your dad will flog you. You know that when you do something wrong, you just go and hide in one corner of the house, hoping that they won't find out what you did wrong. And now that many times of us we see God with that same lens we see our parents. Guess what? The truth is that God is nothing like your father, it's nothing like your mother, it's nothing like your uncles and your aunties. God is different. God is love. Yeah. And guess what? The beauty of God's nature is this. The beauty of the love of God is that God is not love. Love is not what God does. It's not just what God does, it's who God is. So it's normal, everyday, always reactions to us is to love us. God is love. Yeah, so he sent his son to die for us when we're sinners, to prove to us that I loved you when you did everything wrong, to show you that, see, my love for you is not because of your actions, my love for you is because of who I am. God loving us is just expressing to us who he is, and we can run to God when we sin. Yeah. There's several scriptures that talk about it, and I hope that as we talk today, we would look at some scriptures that would just see some scriptures that talk about the love of God and even what we should do when we sin. Yeah, if God loves us when we sin. Yeah, thank you so much.
You know, there was something you said about God that really, really got me, and it's the fact that You said love is not something God does, but it's something that he is. It's who he is, and the fact that he can change, you know, that really is a very complete statement. So the next thing I want to ask is for people who have been struggling with certain things, like been struggling with certain addictions, who have been struggling with certain problems, it's always hard for them to believe that in spite of their shortcomings, in spite of their several mistakes, because most people think that we understand God is love and things like that, but is it possible that I'm doing all these bad things and God is holy? And they even end up quoting scriptures like God cannot behold iniquity, which of course is true, and they end up saying something like our righteousness is like filthy rags, you know. What would you have to say to issues like this where people take up some scriptures and use it to support the fact that God is actually, or God can actually be angry with a person? How would you debunk such an ideology? What would you say to people who always feel like there's something I have to do to keep my relationship with God intact? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? What do you have to say about this?
I ask those questions over and over again, and it's a very common question that I keep making mistakes. I keep sinning against God, and I don't think God loves me. I think I was at a point in my life where I was at this place too. I was a young man who was addicted to porn, masturbation, to sex. I literally could not live a week without having sex at least four or five times. Like, when I mean four or five times, I'm not saying four or five times, but I mean four times, four days in a week. Yeah, I was so bound to sin, and you know, yet at that point, you know, I experienced God's love. I saw all that. See, God's love, my sin could not stop God from loving me. And I don't even want your understanding of God's love for you should be to be on my experience. My experience can't keep you. Truth is, when you are going through that struggle and that torment in your mind, my experience can't keep you. But you know, the Bible is the foundation of what should help us. I know the Bible says in John 3 verse 16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whosoever believes in me will not perish but have lasting life, eternal life. The Bible says for God so loved the world. Did you realize that the Bible says God loves the world? The Bible never said God sent his son because he loved the church. The Bible said God sent his son to die for the world because he loved the world. See, God loves sinners. God loves the brokenhearted. God loves the wounded. God loves the people who are confused about their lives. God is in love with broken people. God is in love with even you that are struggling. He loves you. And for that reason, he sent his son to die for you. That's a beauty. That's a scripture that should set you at peace. God loves you. And guess what? He loves you despite of who you are. See, his love for you is not selective. His love does not select who to love. His love is for everyone. He loves you regardless of your actions, of your addictions. He loves you. Did you realize that everybody that walked with God in the scriptures, they were not perfect men? Or the man we love, Abraham. Abraham had sex with his maid, his wife's maid. David was David. David had sex with someone, with another man's wife. He's told. Every man who walked with God in the scriptures, are these the apostles? Paul was a murderer. Is it Peter? Every man that worked with God had their different flaws and different struggles, yet God loved them and God trusted them. God worked with them. So God's love for you is regardless of you and what you do. His love for you is just who he is. See, it's because he is, that's why he does. It's because he is love, that's why he cannot stop himself from expressing love to you. He is just love. He can't be anything but love. So yes, get to the Bible. Yes, the Bible says that God cannot behold iniquity. But guess what? At the cross, it's love drove him to a point. But guess what? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, Bible says that God made Christ, when you know sins, become sin for us, that we might become God's righteousness in Christ Jesus. At the cross, God emptied all of our sins, past, present, and future, and even the nature of sin into Christ. Emptied into Christ. Guess what he did? Bible says that the Father took his face away from Jesus, and when the Father turned his back on the Son, the Father was facing you. At the cross, the love of the Father drove him to look at you, to love you, to save you. So God loves you. God loves you. He's holy, and his holiness is to love you. His nature, the nature of holiness that he is holiness, he is holy. The expression of his holiness is to make you holy. So now God does that. He loves you. Loving you is the way God makes you holy. Thank you so much.
Wow, this is just so mind-blowing, and it's a big eye-opener. And to think that, you know, talking about your issues when you had issues with sexual addictions, pornography, and things like that, is something that I'm aware of, and most of your close friends are. And just so you guys know, Abukar is also a podcaster, and he has a podcast, The Sermon, right?
Yeah, The Sermon.
Okay. And, you know, he shares deep into some of the things he struggled with in the past and some of the things that has helped him, you know, become a better person. But I would like to ask this question. At what point, how did you encounter this kind of love, this unconditional love? Because speaking about what you used to experience, talking about such, you said having sex at least 4 times in a week.
True. Yeah.
You know, something like that. How was it that you could still feel that God loves you? Or at what point did you feel that, okay, you have been rescued by God's love? Can you like tell us that experience? What was it like for you?
How did I experience God's love? So I became born again. I began studying my Bible. Yeah, we know the normal talk about come born again, study your Bible, prayed. I did all of those things. I studied, I prayed. But you know, again, I started attending church. Yeah, and there were times that some pastors would preach about that. Yeah, you're still struggling with this. They're not really born again. And there were several days that, though I was born again and though I was really following God, because of what someone said, because the person said, you still feel the certain way, you still have the soul, you still, you're not really following God, you're not really born again. And I had those thoughts, I had those times where I would really, 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 really doubt even my salvation, me being born again. And there were days I would cry, thinking that, Lord, I can't really follow you. Yeah? But I want to thank God for having someone who watched over me. I have a spiritual father. You know, at such points, I would really, at those times, ask questions and say, God, I don't even know what's going on. I'm not sure I'm born again. I don't know what's going on with me. And he would talk and counsel. Guess what, guys? It would help at those points. It would help. What he would say would help at those points. But, you know, it really never really lasted fully. And I want to say this right now. See, it's wonderful to have spiritual leaders. I have to have spiritual fathers. I have, and I really one, you know, it's a structure that God has placed for to help us grow as believers. But you know, it never takes the place of your personal experience of it, of God. And so I needed something that was going to be permanent, I needed the knowledge of God's love that was going to be permanent. So I started studying my Bible. I know it was the book of Romans for me. Reading the book of Romans, I saw how much God loves me and God's provision to even save me. I saw that, and I began to study. See, the more I studied God's love, the more I studied God's word, the more I know how deeply God was in love with me. Yeah. So I found one particular morning, I was studying my Bible, and I was really asking God, I really want to know you. I want to know how much you love me. I want to know how much you can even withstand my foolishness. I want to know how deeply you love me. And by that day, I studied God's word. I know as I studied God's word, I'm right on Romans chapter 5, yeah? Romans chapter 5 or verse chapter 6. No, chapter 5, I think chapter 5. The Bible says that while we're yet deep in sin, God loves you, God loved us, and it broke me down. I realized that, see, God is in love with me. God is in love with me. And guess what? See, it never gets, we never get to a point where we are so fully aware of God's love. The more I study God's love, the more I study God's word, I realize over. So I'm daily growing in my knowledge of God's love for me. I know. See, I think I became so aware of God's love for me that I have to search for a name that describes that God's in love with me, and I got a name called Jedidiah. That's my name. I gave myself that name in God. Jedidiah, it means God's beloved. Yeah, so the knowledge of the growing in God's knowledge, in knowledge of God's love for you is not a one time thing, it's something you grow daily, day by day, day by day. Yeah, so it's the word of God will help you. Yeah,
okay. So while you were talking, before now, you said something about God using imperfect people. You mentioned Abraham, David, Paul, Peter, lots of other people, and you said, you know, these were all imperfect men, had their issues and stuff. Is this like a license to keep on just living a reckless life, or because we know whatever it is, God is going to be fine with us? Because these were all imperfect men. So are you saying that we can still walk in our imperfections and we can still just wallow in whatever it is we're going through and think that God, of course, is not angry with us? Wouldn't that now be like that's what, do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I get your question so well. Yeah, I do. Because just imperfect men that submitted to his love and his to him. Yeah. This way, imperfect man that we're willing to walk by faith with God. See, God loves everyone, everybody in this world unconditionally. Yeah? But guess what? We have a choice to either accept God's love or don't accept God's love. Now, let me just say something very quickly. The reason why anybody goes to hell or will go to hell is not because they sin, but because they refuse to accept the free gift of salvation. John 3 verse 16 to 18 speaks about it. You should read that in the scriptures. But God loves us. But see, and I also want to say that, see, nobody needs a license to sin. Everybody sins without a license. Nobody needs even a message to make them sin. They sin by their will, free will. No one needs a license. Yeah, but guess what? See, regardless of what you do, God still loves you. But the question I would, but the question I always ask people, the thing I always tell people is, see, when you know how deeply someone loves you, and the great extent he has gone to save you and made you a new person, would you still do wrong? Would you not live right? The reason why many people keep on sinning again, gonna keep on going back to their wrong and doing wrong over and over again, it's not because they really want to, it's because they've not even been taught about even the love of God and about even what God has done to save them. Many people don't even know that they are not the same person they used to be when they become born again. They don't even know that. For those who are not even born again, they don't even know that there's something that Christ has done to save them from sin. And that's where we come as believers. That's where the church comes in to teach them, to tell people about God's love, God's work on the cross, God's work through the death of Christ, his burial, resurrection, and what he has done through those events to save them. When people know this truth, they would be saved from their sins. The Bible says that the people perish because of a lack of knowledge. Then the proper knowledge of God's word will save and liberate men. Yeah. So God loves us. God loves us regardless of what we do. And God uses imperfect men. He uses imperfect people. Perfect people that have experienced his love. imperfect people that have experienced his love and are being changed day by day, day by day. You know, there's a particular scripture in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 6, I think verse 9, where the Bible speaks about that some of those disciples were sexually immoral. They were gays, they were lesbians, horrible sins, right? They were thieves, they were murderers, they were horrible sins. Guess what? The Bible says they have been washed and sanctified now by the blood of the Lamb. See, God took imperfect men, God took sinners, and God cleansed them with the blood of His Son and made them new. That's what God does. That's what love does. God takes imperfect people, God cleanses them with His love, and God makes them brand new people, and God makes them great instruments in His hands. See, the love of God will keep chasing after you until He saves you. The Bible says He will leave the 99 and He will chase after the one that is lost until He saves and finds him. God is chasing after you, and He will not stop until He finds you, is in love with you.
That's really, 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 really mind-blowing. And honestly, it's really an amazing time, you know, talking about these things, because the world needs to hear things like this, because actually the world is looking for peace and love, and no one actually finds genuine love elsewhere apart from God. Honestly, the fact that people keep rejecting God and things of God, and people keep making this thing look like a religion, it's not a religion, it's a reality, you know. There's no other love besides God's love. You know, the fact that someone can love you in spite of your mess, it's really, really crazy. And thank you so much for that. I need to ask you this question, because I feel like it's something that most people would want to know about. Now, in a situation where at a point in your life when things just go drastically wrong, and it will make you wonder that what exactly have you done to deserve such tribulations? Now, so out of guilt, you might start feeling like you're being punished for your past wrong actions, but along the line, the punishment might even look bigger and way, you know, above your imaginations than, do you get what I'm trying to say? The punishment might look bigger than your supposed actions. If it's not God, so the question is now, if it's not God taking His anger on you, what then is responsible for all those things?
I love this question. I particularly love this question so much, because, you know, I can relate. I can relate to this question so well. And after I became born again, right? I had some issues. I had some difficulties academically, and I just feel like at a point I'm going to feel like, okay, maybe God is trying to punish me for all of my sins. But you know, I realized as I learned about what the Father is, that no, that it's not the Father's nature to do that. God doesn't do payback. No, He doesn't do that. And I see so many things that'll be. Think the devil, they see that we think that the Lord is punishing us for our wrong. It's not even God's punishment, it's just a natural consequence of some wrong decisions we made. God doesn't do that to us. I know, because we lack the knowledge of God's love for us and what the Father is, the devil takes hold of our ignorance to light to us that God is punishing us. Meanwhile, you see, God has nothing to even do with it. It's just a normal consequence of some certain bad choices we made. God doesn't do that. So many bad choices we made result in certain consequences that the devil turns that light and starts saying, God is punishing you. And by when I became born again, I failed some of my exams, and I feel like, okay, maybe God is punishing me by making me fail my exams because I did wrong. Didn't lie. If I had read properly, if I had read well, I would have passed my exams. And by times when I was sick, and I feel like, okay, God is punishing me. Finally, something is coming. and guess what? They lie, because I didn't take care of my body. No, that's so, for you know, I've made many people would
that God has brought around. I've even met those who had financial issues, and devil will lie to them that the reason why they have financial issues is because of the core of their sins. And I was like, it's a lie. God doesn't do that. It's because you're not doing your business properly. So God doesn't do that. God is not petty. God is not petty. He loves us. Love is who He is. And love is only what He gives. Yeah.
Honestly, thank you so much, Ebuka, for all this. It's been an enlightening moment, because like I would keep saying, these are things the world actually needs. But this, based on the fact that people most times are proud, or they're ashamed, or they something for some unknown reasons, they do not want to come to terms with the fact that they actually do need something more superior than what the world gives. And honestly, it's just God that can give that. And I highlighted a few things you said, you know, about how you've been able to fully understand and fully comprehend, or come into an experiential truth of what God's love is. The fact that you said you studied God's word, you know, and I feel like that's where you can only understand and get real love and peace from. You know, the Bible is not something, it's not a religious book, and it's not like other religions. It's not even a religion in the first place. You know, it's something that puts you in check and makes you understand better the realities of life. And what's mind blowing is the fact that other people who are not Christians take some of this instructions and commands and make it their life tenets. And that's to show that this is beyond a religion. This is a reality for even those who are not called Christians. Do you understand? And it's super, super amazing that we have the benefits of this truth. We have this truth so close to us. And this is us saying right here in the Lumen Black Studio that, you know, we should give more attendance to God's word. You know, it's the only thing that can actually change your life. It's the only thing that can actually give you real peace and real love. That is, I feel like that's the thing that the world actually needs right now. That's what people are looking for, peace and love. And that's the only place you can find that is in God. And you said something about studying the book of Romans, and you know, that's something you can actually take people who are listening to us out there. It doesn't matter what religion you're part of, just take up this book and try to read. And I believe that God would help you interpret these things, and you'll be able to come into a reality of His love. Because one thing I know is you do not fall in love, you actually grow in love with someone. So it's not something, like Ebuka said, it's not something that happens to you overnight. You would most times, you know, fall and make mistakes and do things that are wrong, but it still doesn't change the fact that God loves you forever. And He doesn't love the way man does. He loves you unconditionally. So even when you fall, just make sure that when you fall, you know where to run to God and not away from God. You know, you grow in love, you keep on studying, you keep on becoming better. One thing I love, one of my best scenarios in the Bible is when Peter denied Jesus. And in spite of that, after that scenario where he had to deny Jesus, he was brought back. And he later became the pillar on which the church we now call the church, or the thing we call the church, was now founded on. It was on Peter. So regardless of what it is you've done, regardless of how bad you think you've messed up, do not run away from God. Run towards God, because God actually is not angry with you. And I remember there's a scripture in the Bible, I think Isaiah chapter 44 verse 9, he was saying something like, just as the time of Noah, that God swore that He would never bring flood to the earth. And think about it, there's never been that kind of Noah's flood since Noah's time. And he said, just like He swore that time, he's swearing again that He would never be angry with you or rebuke you. Do you understand? And that's a clear sign that God actually is. It's written. It's not something we assume. He said it Himself. It's not something we said. He said that He's not going to be angry with us, because He loves us with an undying love. And just know that this love helps you to live above your mistakes. It's not a license, you know, to live in your mistakes. It helps you live, because when you come into this truth that God loves you, you live above your mistakes. You keep growing and becoming a better person. You find out that all these things are just falling away. And you see, another point I like to highlight is the fact that you said God does not do payback. So whatever it is you're going through, whatever challenge it is you're going through, it's part of life. Because even those who are more horrible sinners, and those who have done more horrible things, they face the same things. It's just how life is. We go through storms, we go through tough times and seasons, but it doesn't change the fact that God loves you forever. And it doesn't mean that God is actually punishing you. Like Abraham said in his when he gave his life to Christ, and he failed, I think, some exams, that he was thinking God was punishing him. But the thing, like he said, if he had read better, he would have passed. And to think about it, other people who were not Christians passed because they actually did read. So whether or not you're in God, it does not remove the storms that you go through. The beautiful thing is that even when you're going through those storms, God is with you and still loves you. And God doesn't do payback. Like Ibuka said, God is not petty. Gosh, like, please do not have that mindset where you think God is being this petty killjoy. You understand that kind of stuff, you know? So that is really what this episode is about, to just make everyone, all our listeners, understand that God actually is not angry with you. He actually wants you to come to him, and he just wants you to be part of that big family so you can experience that love and you can, you know, grow into who you've been destined to become. I don't know, Abraham, if you have something else to say before we call it a wrap on this show, on the Lumion Black Show. Yeah, Abraham, do you have anything you want to say?
Okay, I'll lastly say this, that, you know, God is love. God is love. That's who God is. That's who he is. He's love. Like, he can't be anything but love. I know he can't express anything to you but love. That's who he is. He's not faking it. God is really in love with you. He means it. When he says in his word that he loves you and he will not remember, he will not remember your sins again. He doesn't keep record of your sins again. He means it. When he says that he will not react to you based on your mistakes, but based on his love for you, he means it. Everything God says in his words is true. And he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. I pray that you would experience God's awesome love for you, and that you will live out your life daily knowing that you are loved deeply, completely, internally, eternally by God.
Okay, and that is a wrap on today's episode of the Lumion Black Show. And I must say, it's been an amazing time right here in the studios with Abukar, sharing all these amazing things with us in the Lumion Black Studios. And I want to tell you guys, please take all of these things into consideration, because it's going to help you in your relationship with God and with also with people also. So make sure you share it to your friends, your family members, your fans, your well wishes, and even your enemies too, because we all can benefit from this. And so I remain your very own Adeyinka Black.
It's your boy, it's your guy, Ibuka, signing out and saying God bless you. I love you so much.